I have a confession to make. This wasn't my first sermon for Mother's Day, but it's been fascinating. And I'll talk about that. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, now you know that I'm pretty excited about sharing what I found in this story this morning. But Lord, we want to hear from you, not from Don. Use these lips of clay, Lord. May the words of my mouth, may the meditations of my heart be acceptable, O Lord, in your sight. And may we hear what you have for us this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Have you ever been reading through the Bible and think you come to a story that you've read probably 50 times maybe, and all of a sudden you think everything you know what it's all about and you don't. You get to that one statement that's buried in that passage and you realize, oh, that changes everything. So many times when I read this passage, I was thinking about this lady. And what does this lady have business? I mean, she's poor. And her boys are in trouble. They're going to get took from her. What business does she have going to Elijah? And I missed that piece that's right there in verse 1, that her husband was of the company of the prophets. And I sort of didn't think much about it. And I got looking into the background of this story, because this woman was not a beggar. Her husband was part of an inner circle of men at a time when God's people were persecuted by the very King of Israel himself. And it was only this company of prophets that stood for the name of the Lord in that time. And she was a wife of one of those men. The creditors were coming for her children. And that's true. But do we know why? What's interesting is, if you look around in the 1st and 2nd Kings, you begin to put some pieces together. This lady was the wife of Obadiah. That didn't shock anybody. Okay. That was really a revelation to me. Wow! Josephus says in his Works of Antiquity, and he lines out this whole story in his works, that this woman was the wife of Obadiah. Oh, you don't remember? Okay. Well, Obadiah, it's sort of funny, because Obadiah was the caretaker of Ahab's house. He was the caretaker of the king's house. That was no small job. And in the midst of the drought, you see back in 1 Kings chapter 18, in the midst of that drought, it was Ahab and Obadiah that go out to try to find some grass and some water for their horses, the royal horses. It was Obadiah that all of a sudden comes along and sees Elijah. And Elijah says, Obadiah, go back to Ahab and tell him I want to talk to him. And Obadiah says, what you got in for me? What did I ever do to you that you want me to go to Ahab for you and get killed? And in that passage, it relates that Obadiah, even though he was taking care of the king's household, he was of the inner circle of the king, was also on the inner circle of prophets. And Obadiah, on his own accord, took 100 prophets and took care of them in 2 separate caves, 50 in each cave, and took care of those prophets through the entirety of the famine, through the entirety of Jezebel's persecution, when Jezebel was trying to kill the prophets. What that reveals to us then, Obadiah and his wife, this woman, had put their entire livelihood including borrowing on the lives of their sons to provide for the prophets of Israel, to provide food and shelter and safety. And now this woman, Ahab's dead and gone, so is Elijah was taken up in the chariot. These guys are out of the picture. But Joram, Ahab's son, was collecting on that debt. He would have Obadiah's sons. If you might say it was revenge, possibly so. And so in the midst of this credit, I always thought, well, here's this woman. She just flips away all her living, you know, and she doesn't have anything because she didn't take care of it. You know how we Mennonites think. But when you get to the story behind it, this woman has given up everything. Everything in her house, everything in her livelihood, even the future of her sons, for the sake of preserving the prophets of God. Now that's a lot. Now after everything is gone, she comes to the prophet Elisha, the one to whom the mantle of Elijah was given, and says, you know, I'm in trouble. This is a situation. Do you think maybe something could happen here? And Elisha then opens up and says, well, okay, what do you got left? And she says, I've got a little oil. And if we don't go back to the Hebrew, you miss it. Because it's anointing oil. It's not just cooking oil. It's not kerosene. It's not just olive oil. But it's anointing oil. And in the Hebrew, it's a cruse of anointing oil, which is a little less than this. And that's what she's got left. That's what she's got left in her house. So it makes the instructions of Elisha interesting. He says, take that and go to all your neighbors. Go to all your neighbors and get as many jars as you can. Jars. Pots in one translation. And go into your house. Close the door behind you and your sons and start pouring. Now, can you imagine what was going through that lady's mind when she had just about this much oil and the prophet says, go get all these jars? Yeah, right. But she does. She does exactly like Elijah says. She pulls her sons into the house and she begins pouring. And she begins pouring. And she begins pouring. And she pours some more. Until there are no more pots left for the oil. And the oil stops flowing. Then she goes back to Elisha and says, now what? Now what, man of God? He says, go sell it. Go sell it to take care of the debt. Keep the rest of the money to live on. And if you know what this costs, anointing oil, she probably did all right. As we come to the story then, some things come out and greet me. One of those is the faith of this woman. A faith shared with her by her husband, her family, in the will of Almighty God. She knew that having put herself out there with Obadiah and even gone into debt to make sure that these prophets, that the Lord's prophets, the people who were speaking for Almighty God would be saved. In the midst of this persecution, she put herself out there. And she knew then that God was the one to go to say, okay, now what's next? I think so many times when we get to the end of the road, when we get to the end of ourselves, we fail to say, oh, yeah, maybe now it's the time to go to God. All this calamity had happened. It was all settled. now she needed to go to the man of God. As she had used up all of her own provisions, now was the time to go to God. She was at the end of herself. Also in the midst of this woman's heart was a desire to care for her sons. And every woman I've ever met, it must be part of your DNA. Because as I think back through my history, when things got hard, when things get tough, I still remember my mom driving the grain truck. You know, a bonnet on top of her head so her hair wouldn't get mussed up. And she got behind that 5-speed too and got that truck to the market. My sister would haul grain in the midst of the harvest because it was that important. I had two maiden aunts. They never got married. And they made it their mission at every dinner to be a part of us kids, since they sort of helped us and they gathered us around. They would tell us stories. They would invest in us at our family gatherings. And when I was in a thunderstorm away from home, but closest to my dear aunt, who was, I think she was probably in her 80s at that time, she got up at 3 o'clock in the morning and gave me shelter in the storm. I remember when we were going through hard times as a family. Charlene started a daycare in our home. And on top of that, worked evenings at Showalter Villa so we could start getting by. It seems to be in the nature of the women of faith that we do those things to help our families get by. Thank you, ladies. Thank you. It was in this woman's DNA as well. And I don't want us to miss God's provision. It's interesting that neither Josephus' account nor this one says how many jars the woman was able to get a hold of. But I want us to step into that moment of faith that this woman was in. And think about, so if God gave you those instructions and He was wanting to speak into your poverty, how many jars would you go get? If God had an answer for you that He was willing to give you a way out of your poverty, how many jars would you get? How many friends would you knock on their door? How anxiously would you go to your neighbors and say, oh, don't you have one more? Oh, don't you have one more? Because I know God's provision is enough and I want to make sure we make the most of God's provision to get me out of this situation. Or would we go to the back cupboard in the house and get 3 empty jars and say, yeah, that's good enough. Yeah, that's good enough. Because God did not allow the oil to stop until the empty jars were full, each and every one of them. And so many times we live in poverty because we don't think God can do it. And God pulled through and made every pot full. Now, it didn't stop there, because the woman again went back to Elisha, seeking God's direction for what she should do with that oil. You got me from point A to point B. You got me from point B to point C. And she's basically saying, I want to make sure I do this right. As the wife of one of the Lord's prophets, the inner circle, I want to make sure I do this right. Elisha, what would you have me do now with this oil? And he gives her those instructions. How many times do we make sure that at every step of what we're doing, we have allowed God to speak into those steps. I mean, that's a message not only for the ladies of Flora Deer Creek and our guests this morning. That's a lesson for each and every one of us. Because like this woman at the beginning, we sort of want to do it on our own. And yes, we'd even go into debt for the provision to get things done, right? We would. We often do. And I think sometimes we fail to open our eyes to God's provision and make sure we get every jar we possibly can, because God wants to pour out oil of healing, oil of anointing into our lives. And so I leave you with this thought. If God would pour blessing into the poverty of your life, would you have a place to put it? Think about it. Think about that spot in your life where you know you're a little anemic or need provision or just can't get by. And I'm not talking about money. I mean, all of us could use a little more in our bank account, I'm sure, just like this lady could. But I'm saying that point of poverty in your life where you're really aching. Maybe it's in a relationship. Maybe it's in the way you respond to things. Maybe it's something that you really feel dry. A place of poverty in your life. If God would pour out blessing on your poverty, would you have a vessel open enough for God to fill it? With that thought in mind, I'd like for every lady in this church that is 19 years and older, everybody in this building right now, every woman that is 19 years and older. So you got that part? You all know who's 19 and older of the ladies? You got that. Okay. I would like you to stand. Let's see if we can get... We're going step by step here so we don't get misunderstood. Ladies of Lower Deer Creek, we love you. Now, if you would move to the aisles, if you're going to need to take your purse with you, grab it. If there's a kid you've got to take with you, grab it. And move to the aisles. It could be the center aisles, it can be outside aisles. Yeah, leave the guys behind. If he's willing to take care of the kids, leave them there. Grab your purse. Ladies, we thank you because you are a special part of Lower Deer Creek. The body of Christ here benefits from your presence. Even if you're a visitor, we've benefited from your presence this morning. God bless you. And to close this service, we'll have a prayer we'd like to have for you. Following the prayer, we would like for you to leave the sanctuary. It's not like we're pushing you out. But we would like you to leave the sanctuary because we have a gift that reflects the message this morning. It just happens to be in a pot. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message that you gave us about Elisha and this dear widow of one of the inner circle of your prophets. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this woman who through her faith went to Elisha. And we thank you, Lord, for these ladies who've come here to worship you this morning, who are a vital part of our lives and our congregational life. We pray your blessing on each and every one of these ladies. May your peace rest upon their hearts. May your Holy Spirit continue to guide them each and every day. May you guide them for the next step that you would have them to take. Lord, bless them. And may you pour out your blessing on all of us as we seek to be your people, called by your name at this time. And may your peace go with us and through us into the world this very morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go in peace.